I wonder whether you watched on television some of the European Athletic Championships from Berlin and from Scotland. There were some quite exciting moments, and Britain, we can be proud to say, did very well. While sporting events at the time of St. Paul were also very big, the city of Corinth was the centre for the Isthmian Games, which was second only in prestige to the Olympic Games. And when you read his letters, you see how St. Paul often uses figures of speech from the competition arena. At least 12 different references in his letters, including examples of runners, boxers, gladiators, chariot races, and the trophies that hopefully follow. And we're going to hear one of those passages now, which I'm going to preach on, from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us through the words of Scripture, and chiefly through your Son, who is the living Word of God. Write your Word upon our hearts this night. Amen. Paul's attitude is the athlete's attitude. And in my sermon this evening, I want to highlight three instructions for the Christian life from these words of Paul. And the first instruction, it seems to me, that Paul is saying is, have a destination in life. Have a destination in life. It's true to say that many today lack a sense of destination, a sense of direction as to where their lives are going, or a sense of purpose. Why are they here on earth? Many live today with little thought to their final destination. And perhaps if we're honest, there may have been times in our own lives when we lived in that blinkered way. I'm reminded of Alice in Wonderland. When Alice comes to a junction in the road that leads in different directions, she asks the Cheshire Cat, saying, "Cheshire Puss, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" "Ah, that depends a good deal on where you want to go," replied the cat. "I don't much care where," replied Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." I wonder, we can ask this evening, which way am I going? What road am I on? Where do I want to go? Where is the road that I'm on taking me? Today we affirm that Jesus said, "I am the way." That is our magnetic north. That is the point we look to. We can trust him completely to show us just where we are, just where we need to be, and he will lead us. He is the way to life, the way to eternal life, the way to heaven. We affirm that heaven is our destination in life. But many choose to ignore the way. And perhaps if we're honest, sometimes we lose sight of that goal, the prize. And so tonight, let us receive this instruction from Paul once again, who is saying, lift up your heads and keep focused on the way and the destination. For a crown is waiting. Those who were victors in these early Olympic Games were crowned with a crown of leaves, olive, bay tree, or laurel. And as Paul intimates, those crowns would soon wither and perish. And we know that even in the European Championships or in the Olympic Games, a gold, silver, or bronze medal eventually will tarnish and will decay. But Christians have an incorruptible crown in view, a crown of glory that never fades, and all can obtain it. The many, not just the elite few. And this is the gift of God in Christ Jesus, a prize that is given, not taken. When we hear these words about running the race and thinking of our own physical condition, perhaps, we may be discouraged. But here, let us be affirmed that we will, by God's grace, receive that crown. We have a destination in life if we keep on this spiritual path, which all can take. And linked with this, the second instruction that Paul gives us here is this: hold to your disciplines in life. Hold to your disciplines in life. Athletes know all about discipline. When we're fast asleep in our beds, in those early hours of the morning, they wake up while it is still dark to go out and train in all weathers. I'm sure, like us, they would much prefer to have a lie in. But their mind and their will and their sense of that competition and the prize drives them forward. We know that gold, silver, and bronze medals are not just won on the day in the stadium glory of a summer evening. Gold medals are won in that solitary graft of winter training. And there is a truth. Without effort, nothing can be won in a sporting event. Discipline is everything. So these athletes sacrifice time spent with loved ones. They forego the richest of food and drink and sleep so that they can clock the best speed or cover the furthest distance or be the most accurate in their field. And without discipline, they would never realize their dreams. And of course, many will go through that and still not win on the day. but they are able to compete. In a similar way, St. Paul is saying, live your life like you want the prize. Be focused and be determined in your walk with God. And be prepared to make sacrifices. Paul certainly did. He declares in this reading, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. In other words, like a boxer wasting his punches. No, he says, I discipline my body and make it my slave. The word discipline here is a weak translation. The word means to strike under the eye, to give a black eye. I discipline my body. I make it my slave. It's strong stuff, isn't it? And we know that when those words are taken literally, history has witnessed those who punish themselves, who whip themselves or beat themselves to purify themselves. But that to me doesn't seem in line with the Christian gospel of wholeness. By Christ's wounds we are healed. He took our whole punishment upon himself on the cross. But taken to the other extreme, the notion that our flesh life and our spiritual life are completely unconnected also leads us astray. To say that physical discipline and spiritual discipline are unrelated. Paul strikes the balance for us. Twice in this letter to the Corinthians, he writes, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And we can apply that, can't we, to so many things in life, to diet and health. Christ alone can help us to make the right choices. Jesus, if you like, is our personal trainer who shows us by example how to live, what's good, what's not good. He keeps us striving for the best and always is ready to forgive and lift us up when we stumble or when we sin. Self-denial is an unpopular concept today as ever, but it is part of what it is to be a Christian, to be disciplined, to be temperate, with his help to master our weaknesses. Life is a training ground for us. We are to learn and to grow from our mistakes. And we know that in God, our weakness is made strong. So hold to your disciplines in life. And lastly, the third instruction I want to draw out that I see Paul giving us here is this. Thirdly, to honour your declarations in life. Honour your declarations in life. For Paul, his self-discipline would keep him on the right track, that he himself would not be disqualified from the prize. As a preacher, Paul saw himself as a herald of the good news of Jesus. And it's if here he likens himself to an Olympic charter that governs the games. He wasn't afraid to say, follow my example. But Paul knows that he is a herald of the good news, but he is also a participant. He's also a disciple, a follower himself. Paul told others the rules of the game, and he had to follow the rules himself. Paul knew that he was under a greater judge, God himself. So he sought to honour his declarations, lest he be disqualified at the last and lose his reward. Or as the King James Version puts it, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. A serious warning for any preacher, any disciple, who may point others to heaven's prize and yet miss it themselves. Paul did not take the prize for granted. And no athlete or competitor ever does. The prize can be all too elusive. The golfer Greg Norman never won a major US title. Jimmy White never won the Snooker World Championship. Brazil had the greatest football team in the world going into the 1982 World Cup, but they didn't win. St. Paul took nothing for granted, knowing that anyone can fall at the last hurdle. Or, as perhaps you saw recently, as happened to one runner at the European Championships, to stop running just one lap before the finishing line. To prevent such errors, St. Paul ran carefully and steadily. He contended. He mastered his impulses. He let the Holy Spirit govern his life. He lived what he preached. A challenge for us to say, do my actions mirror my confession, my faith? It's not enough only to wear the tracksuit and the running shoes on Sunday. We participate in this Christian race each and every day, from the starting gun to the finish line. It's important to start well, but imperative to end well. The Christian life, as you know, isn't a sprint. It's a marathon or a steeplechase with hurdles. And it's not about coming first. I understand that the Greeks had a unique race in their games where the winner was not the runner who finished first. The winner was the runner who finished with their torch still lit, going through great obstacles, carrying it high and low in all weathers, and yet trying to shield it and to keep the flame burning strong. The winner was the runner who finished with their torch still lit. And wouldn't you and I want to make that our prayer this evening? To keep our torch lit to the end. To say, Lord, keep the torch of my love for you burning strong and steady until the day, by your grace and help, and with the help of others, Christian brothers and sisters, that I cross that finishing line. Christ urges us, be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. We can't all finish first, but we can all finish by God's grace and the help of his Holy Spirit, who kindles the faltering flame and strengthens tired limbs. Together with Paul, let us continue the race. Let us fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. With the help of God and his Spirit, you honour your declarations in life. You hold to your disciplines in life. You have a destination in life. Amen.